This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We begin by praising Allah Azza wa Jal. We ask Him, the Almighty, the Lord of all worlds, the Exalted, the Majestic, to send His choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear brothers and sisters, do you want to know what is the best way of seeking forgiveness, the best manner of seeking forgiveness? If the answer to that question is yes, then let's go into the Quran, let's go into the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this particular video and find out. Our Maker subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in Surah Az-Zumar, ayah number 54. So Surah Az-Zumar is the 39th chapter, ayah number 54.
قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ
قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya ibadi, O my servants, O my slaves, alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim, who have transgressed against themselves. And this is through transgression, through sin, through wrongdoing. La taqunatu min rahmatillah. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Indeed, He is the most forgiving, the most merciful. I chose to start off with this ayah as an introduction to establish in our hearts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving. And this ayah fills us with so much of hope. It fills us with so much of faith. It fills us with this enthusiasm and zeal to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that there is going to be a response, knowing that Allah azza wa jal is willing to forgive us of our sins. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and this is in Surah An-Nuh, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. So with regards to, and okay, the ayat go on, يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. استغفروا ربكم, seek the forgiveness, استغفار, you see, استغفروا ربكم, seek the forgiveness of your Lord, إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. Indeed, He is the most forgiving. Ghaffar is upon a hyperbolic scale, an exaggerated scale. He forgives excessively. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. He will send rain to you in abundance. وَيُمْدِدُكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ. He will give you increase in wealth. وَبَنِينَ. And children. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. And He will bestow, He will grant you jannat, gardens. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all access, grant us all entry into His beautiful and lofty gardens. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. And He will bestow upon you rivers, jannatin tajri min tahtiha al-anhar, khalidina fiha, gardens beneath which rivers flow, living therein, abiding therein perpetually. So you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you seek the forgiveness of your forgiving Lord. He's willing to forgive, and not just forgive, subhanallah. He's willing to reward you, where your wealth is going to be increased. You're going to be given children. You're going to have a good life in this world and a good life in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all with different forms of goodness in this world as well as the hereafter. Ameen. So as you can see, the previous ayah, it fills us with so much of hope. This ayah This ayah promises numerous benefits. You see, and we understand through this again the forgiveness of our Maker subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we also understand the generosity of our Maker subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is written that a man once goes to an imam, if I'm not mistaken, it was Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, goes to him and he, what does he do? He complains to him of poverty, of how difficult his life is. The Sheikh, Imam Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, he goes on to instruct him and advise him, seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the instructions that he gave this individual who came to him doing what? Complaining of poverty. Now after a while, there was another man who comes to him complaining that he does not have any children. Imam Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, went on to tell this individual as well, seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another man comes to him now and he complains to him, perhaps he was a farmer, he was involved in vegetation, cultivation. He comes to him and tells him, you know what, this time my crops have died, my lands are barren, my fields are barren, there's no harvest during this particular season or for a couple of seasons. Imam Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, he goes on to advise this individual as well, seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the Imam's students were puzzled because three different circumstances, if you will, and the Imam's response was the same, seek the forgiveness of Allah, seek the forgiveness of Allah, seek the forgiveness of Allah. So they go on to question the Shaykh, they go on to ask their teacher the logic behind this, the rationale behind this, if you will. And Imam Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, then reads the ayah that we just read. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ ويجعل لكم جنات ويجعل لكم أنهارا. Where in this ayah the command is being issued, seek the forgiveness from your Lord. Indeed, He is most forgiving. يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا. He will send rain to you in abundance. So your land is barren. There is no harvest, no crops, no rain in sight. Make istighfar, Allah will send rain in abundance. The man comes to him complaining of poverty, seek the forgiveness of Allah. Yumdidukum bi amwal. He will grant you increase in wealth. A man comes to him complaining or telling him that he does not have children. He instructs him, seek the forgiveness of Allah. Wa yumdidukum bi amwalin wa banin. Allah will grant you abundance in your wealth and Allah will grant you children. Subhanallah. Look at the knowledge of the scholars of the past. You know, they go back to the Quran, to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for light, for guidance, for lessons. May Allah Azza wa Jalla open doors of beneficial knowledge for all of us. Ameen. So as you can see, I think we've established the fruits of forgiveness, the importance of forgiveness, the importance of turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking His forgiveness. And to elaborate further on the forgiveness of our Maker subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have beautiful ahadith that very eloquently describe the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, the forgiveness of our Maker subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, you have this lofty hadith Qudsi. Hadith Qudsi. So you have the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being reported to us by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is not considered Quran. It is considered, this particular category is known as hadith Qudsi. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs us, Ya ibn Adam, لو بلغت ذنوبك عنان السماء. O son of Adam, if your sins were to reach عنان السماء, the high parts of the heavens, of the sky, the lofty parts of the sky, okay, or the clouds of the sky, you can translate it either way. If your sins were to reach the clouds, okay, And if you were to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you were to turn back to Him azza wa jal seeking His forgiveness, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hadith goes along the lines of these words, Allah azza wa jal would forgive you of your sins. If you turn to Him without associating any partners unto Him, believing in Him and seeking His forgiveness, Allah Azza wa Jal, the most forgiving, the most merciful, will forgive you of your sins. And this deed of istighfar, it is from the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have a hadith that Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, by the one in whose hand is my soul, I certainly seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repent to Him more than 70 times each day. Allahu Akbar. So I want you all to pause for a moment and let the words of the Messenger sink in. Who are we talking about here? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The pinnacle of virtue, the epitome of goodness. If he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah and seeking His forgiveness 70 times a day, then my dear brothers and sisters, what about you and I? We think of ourselves, we think high and mighty of ourselves, but we are perpetual sinners, constantly making mistakes, constantly trespassing and transgressing, subhanallah. So just imagine, how many times do you think you and I, we have to turn to Allah in tawbah and seek His forgiveness? Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu is reported to have said, we used to count, and if I'm not mistaken, this narration is recorded in the book of Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah. We used to count that in one single gathering, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, I seek Allah's forgiveness and I repent unto Him more than 70 times. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would continuously seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these ahadith clearly tell us, my dear brothers and sisters. So like I said earlier on, we're perpetual sinners, right? We keep making mistakes. So therefore these ahadith educate us that this is something that we need to make part and parcel of our day-to-day lives. It's not something restricted to the month of Ramadan. No, it's not something restricted to a certain duration or season of the year. No, this is something that we have to make part and parcel of our day-to-day lives. Because at the end of the day, we have been created as such. We have been created between forgetfulness and between making mistakes. And we also have the narration where Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, by Allah, if you did not commit sins, Allah would take you away and Allah would bring about a people who would seek Allah's forgiveness and He would forgive them. You know? So if you were a people who would not commit sins at all, then Allah would bring about a people who would commit sins and seek the forgiveness of Allah, because Allah loves those who seek His forgiveness. Yes, we're not supposed to dwell upon sin and go on with our sins. No, that is not something that Allah Azza wa Jalla loves. Allah loves those who slip and then turn to Him seeking His forgiveness. Turn to Him sincerely seeking His forgiveness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to do so. So these ahadith clearly outline the fact that we are supposed to make it part and parcel of our day-to-day lives. It outlines the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, and along with that, we have beautiful names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that clearly describe our Maker subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Majestic, the Almighty, as being extremely, extremely forgiving. You have, Inna Allah Ghafurur Rahim. Indeed, Allah is the most forgiving, the most merciful. You have Al-Ghafar being another name and name/attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, describing Him as being the most merciful. We have a hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that tell us that Allah azza wa jal is more merciful unto us than our own mothers. You have ayat that describe Allah, inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. Indeed, Allah will not forgive shirk, associating partners unto Him, but anything else, everything else, Allah forgives. And even shirk, my dear brothers and sisters, you have to qualify, you have to understand the ayah well. Shirk here, that is if you die upon shirk. But you have committed shirk, and now you want to turn over a new leaf, you know, before you die, you want to turn over a new leaf, you want to turn back to Allah, you want to turn to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're sincerely seeking His forgiveness, Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive you بإذن الله. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our sins. Ameen. So my dear brothers and sisters, now with regards to tawbah, very swiftly, you know of the conditions. You know that you have to have nadim, you have to have deep regret. You can't, your tawbah basically has to be sincere. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. Tawbah nasuha, sincere tawbah. Then you have to al-iqla', you have to come out of the sin. You can't dwell upon the sin, like I said earlier on, and take the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for granted. No, we fear the anger of Allah azza wa jalla, and we should not take His kindness, we should not take His mercy for granted. And then azm, determination that we are not going to go back to that sin again. Now, I mean, we slipped, we fell into a hole, okay? And see, that's the beauty. When you look at tawbah and taqwa, taqwa is being mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This whole month of Ramadan, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامِ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. The lofty objective behind the month of Ramadan, it is not just merely staying away from food and drink. It's not some kind of a diet. It is, the lofty objective is taqwa. The lofty objective is taqwa, to be conscious, to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, now talking about those holes, talking about the traps of shaitan, taqwa helps you to be mindful and navigate away from the traps of shaitan, away from the holes. But let's say you slip, and now you have fallen into one of the pits, into one of the holes. Now, tawbah will help you get out of that pit, get out of that hole. So now, as you are getting out, al-azm, determination not to fall back into the same pit. May Allah protect us from the traps of shaitan. Ameen. So we mentioned nadim, regret. We mentioned, al-iqla', coming out of it. We mentioned al-azm, firm determination not to go back to it, into it. And you also have to understand that your tawbah has to happen, has to be initiated by you before the angel of death comes and stands in front of you. Once Malakul, see, at the end of the day, our period, our time on this earth is appointed, right? Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Every soul shall inevitably taste death. Aynama takunu yudrikkumul maut. Walau kuntum fi burujim mushayyada. Wherever you may be, death will reach you, even if you're going to be in a fortified and lofty tower. So at the appointed time, the angel tasked with the responsibility of extracting souls, he and his team will come. May Allah bless us with good endings. I mean. Now when he comes, and now when you witness him, it'll, subhanallah, you may be in a position where you were driving, you were sleeping perhaps, you were walking, you were studying. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again I pray, may Allah make our endings beautiful. Ameen. Let us not be taken away in a position where we are displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, let our souls be extracted in postures and positions where we are pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal. Think about a person passing away in sujood, subhanallah. Think about a person passing away in salah. Think about a person passing away whilst he or she is fasting. Think about a person passing away whilst reading the Quran, subhanallah. During a good deed, may Allah take our lives. I mean, so now coming back to death, and the angel of death is going to suddenly come. And now, if you're not prepared, you're going to beg and plead that you want more time to perhaps give away all of your wealth in charity, that wealth that you were hoarding, those notes that you were counting, the dunya that you were running behind. Now you know there's no point. You're going to traverse on to the next realm and you'll beg and plead, give me one more day, give me two more days. I'm just going to, you know, give everything away and do as many good deeds as possible. Set the record straight with the creation of Allah. If I have wronged people, if I have hurt people, I want to seek their forgiveness. But do you think you will get respite? Do you think there will be an opportunity? No, my dear brothers and sisters. When the angel of death comes in front of you, when the veils have been lifted, and now when you see this dunya, this worldly life for what it truly is, you have to understand something extremely serious. Even your tawbah is not going to be accepted at that juncture. You have to look at it like the example of an examination. You're seated writing the paper. When the timer goes off, or perhaps the bell rings, and now you have to hand over the paper. And at that juncture, the person in charge of the examinations, the teacher, is now in front of you and you've given your paper. And at that point, or just before giving the paper, but the time has run out and you receive the answer sheet. Now, do you think there's any point? You can't write any of the answers onto the sheet because the pens have been taken away and now you need to hand over your sheet. Subhanallah. So that's a similar situation when the angel of death comes and stands in front of us. And the other situation is before the sun rises from the west. Without getting into too much of detail because it's a discussion for another day, this is from the major signs of the day of Qiyamah, the sun rising from the west. Usually the sun rises from the east. You'll have huge cosmological changes and then the sun will rise from the west. It's going to be, think about it, it's going to be a huge phenomenon that everybody will witness. And once that happens, as per the teachings of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the doors of Tawbah will be slammed shut. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to turn to Him in sincere Tawbah before these things occur. Ameen. So now coming back to istighfar. So Tawbah, I would say, is a broader understanding. It's an umbrella term under which istighfar comes in. Okay. So istighfar is to seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawbah is broader. It is to turn back. When you define the term Tawbah, it is to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At this juncture, I'd like to inform you all about our series during Ramadan known as Words from the Quran and the Sunnah. So during that particular, or in that series, inshallah, I will be, and the whole series, it's all about basically choosing words from the Quran and the Sunnah and unpacking it as much as possible, deducing as many lessons as possible from these words. So for example, we have covered the word Al-Quran, we have covered the word As-Sunnah, we have covered the word Allah, we have covered the word Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and eventually we will discuss the word Tawbah. And when talking about the word Tawbah, I will go into a certain amount of detail with regards to its literal definition, with regards to its shari'i definition. So I'd remind you to subscribe to the channel if you haven't. And hit the little bell next to the subscribe button as well, so that when one of these videos goes live, you will receive a notification, and so that we can all benefit from the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, talking about al istighfar now, we have a narration. It is an authentic narration. Shaddad ibn Aws radiyallahu anhu, he narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the noblest and most excellent manner of seeking forgiveness is that the slave of Allah says, and now the Prophet goes on to mention this beautiful form of istighfar. I'm going to try to have a slide put up with the wording, and as I read it, I would like you to try to commit this to memory so that you can use this beautiful form of seeking forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has been taught to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this beautiful wording in your du'as. And we will also learn that you're supposed to be reading it morning and evening. So we'll discuss the narration inshallah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us that the noblest and most excellent manner of seeking forgiveness is that the slave of Allah says, Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa ant. خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعت أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت أبوء لك بنعمتك علي وأبوء بذنبي فاغفر لي فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. Let me repeat it once more. اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعت أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت أبوء لك بنعمتك علي وأبوء بذنبي فاغفر لي فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. Now for the translation. اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت. O Allah, أنت ربي, you are my Lord. لا إله إلا أنت. There is no deity worthy of worship other than you. خلقتني وأنا عبدك. You created me and I'm your slave. وَأَنَا عَلَىٰ عَهْدِكَ وَوَعْدِكَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتَ. And I am faithful to my covenant and my promise as far as I'm able to do so, to the best of my capacity. أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا صَنَعْتَ. I seek your refuge from the evil of what I have done. أَبُوءُ لَكَ بِنِعْمَتِكَ عَلَيَّ وَأَبُوءُ بِذَنْبِي. I acknowledge before you all the favors that you have bestowed upon me, all the boons that you have conferred upon me. And I confess all of my sins unto you. فَغْفِرْ لِي. So forgive me. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. As no one can forgive sins except you. Now, this is the translation of this very powerful form of istighfar. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he tells us that whoever reads this in the day or during the day with firm conviction in it, and if he were to die during that day before evening, then he is min ahlil jannah. He is from the people of Jannah. Whoever reads it in the night with firm conviction in it, and if he were to die before the morning, then he is min ahlil jannah, from the people of Jannah. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us from the inhabitants of Jannah. Ameen. So as you can see, this hadith, it's an authentic one. It's recorded in the book of Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. And interestingly, Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he brings this narration under the chapter, under the title, The Most Excellent Manner of Seeking Forgiveness. And Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, for those who are familiar with hadith, the students of knowledge, you would know that Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, has this very powerful and interesting way of bringing about chapters. So he has brought it under the chapter, The Most Excellent Manner of Seeking Forgiveness. And when you look at the wording of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam too, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he refers to this beautiful form of seeking forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jal using the wording Sayyidul Istighfar. So Sayyidul Istighfar can be translated as Sayyid can be translated as the leader or the chief of making istighfar, the formats of istighfar. And we have other narrations as well. For example, the one that has been recorded, if I'm not mistaken, in the book of Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asks, shall I not guide you to the most excellent manner of seeking forgiveness? In another version of the narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, learn the most excellent manner of seeking forgiveness. So as you can see, in all these narrations, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on to make reference to this format using the wording, the most excellent form of seeking forgiveness, the most excellent form, the most beautiful form of seeking forgiveness, Sayyidul Istighfar. So my dear brothers and sisters, when you look at this format, there are, you know, the words are so powerful. It starts off Allahumma, where you address Allah Azza wa Jal, you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma, it is translated as O Allah. O Allah, and now you are about to put forth your dua, you are about to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anta Rabbi, la ilaha illa ant, khalaqtani wa ana abduk. Now this statement, it comprises of two very powerful elements. You are establishing the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay? The oneness of Allah azza wa jal with regards to your knowledge and your affirmation. So you're saying, Allahumma anta rabbi, you are my Lord, with conviction. La ilaha illa ant. And then you are bearing witness that there is no deity worthy of worship other than you. And then you say, khalaqtani, you created me. So all of this is with knowledge, with conviction. And then you also go on to establish the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal with regards to your worship. Wa ana abduk. Say, I am your slave. I am your worshipper. I am your slave. You are establishing this by saying, wa ana abduk. Khalaqtani wa ana abduk. And then you're also going on to say, what? Wow. With regards to the covenant, with regards to the promise that you are mastata'at, that to the best of your capacity, you are holding on to the covenant, you're holding on to the promise. So there are layers of establishing the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You start off with basically establishing all of that. And so by saying all of that, you make it very clear with regards to your belief, with regards to your aqidah. And then you go on to confirm the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. where you acknowledge the blessings, the favors of Allah Azza wa Jal, where you say after saying wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dika mastata'at, after saying all of that, you basically seek the protection of Allah, a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'at, from the evil that you've committed, and now you go on to acknowledge the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa in ta'uddu ni'matallahi la tuhsuha, if you were to try and enumerate the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, you would never be able to do so, because we are wallowing in an ocean of the mercy of Allah, of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about it, my dear brothers and sisters, from the time you wake up, and even before you wake up, your sleep is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go and speak to people who are struggling with insomnia, finding it very difficult to sleep, and you'll understand what a huge blessing it is if you are able to go out like a light as your head hits the pillow, where you can sleep this fitful sleep and wake up feeling energized, feeling fit and fresh to tackle the next day. Subhanallah, it's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fact that you woke up, there are many who pass away during their sleep, it's another blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. And as you wake up, if you can feel your limbs, and if you are free from sicknesses, if you have been blessed with good health, another blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. And then what do you do? Generally, you know, glossing, you would read your du'as, you would do all of that, and eventually you would make your way to the washroom, the toilet. Now as you open the faucet, if you have water flowing at your convenience, where you don't have to walk miles to access water, carrying a bucket, there are many people combating water poverty. Subhanallah, the numbers are colossal. We're dealing with projects. We have the clean water project, where we're trying to help so many people gain access to water. And we know of the situation locally and internationally. Subhanallah, people are struggling for water. So if you have convenient access to water, is that not a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal? A blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then as you go on to relieve yourself, if you are able to relieve yourself, you know, comfortably, without pain, without feeling. There are those who struggle and experience excruciating pain. Is that not a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In other words, if your kidneys are functioning the way they're supposed to be functioning without you doing anything about it, is that not a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal? Speak to those who are undergoing renal failure, and you will understand how complicated it becomes when your kidneys fail you. You'll have to hook yourself up to a machine, you know, to undergo dialysis after dialysis. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our kidneys. Ameen. And may Allah help and ease the affairs of those who are undergoing kidney failure, renal failure. Ameen. And then, my dear brothers and sisters, think about each breath that you take in. If you can fill your lungs, if you have pure air to take in, and if your lungs are functioning, every breath that you inhale and exhale, is it not a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then if you are able to eat your pre-dawn meal, if it's during Ramadan, and if it's outside of Ramadan when you are not fasting, if you have easy access to food, where there's always food on your table, your larders are stocked, your pantries are stocked, your refrigerator is full of food, you can go in and there is cold milk waiting for you. You have your cereals waiting for you. You have a selection of fruits waiting for you. And then for lunch, you have meat. You don't have to worry. And throughout the week, you have a selection of meat. There's variety for you. You're not put into a situation where you are bored with regards to your food. And subhanAllah, today, for those of us who have access to things like Uber Eats and whatnot, just imagine how many types of cuisines that you have access to. If you feel like Indian today, you have access to Indian cuisine. You feel like some other cuisine, you have access to it, subhanAllah. Just at the tip of your fingertips, basically. And before you know it, you place the order and the food is with you in a matter of minutes, subhanAllah. So are these not blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Huge blessings. And if you have a roof over your head, if you have a loving family, if you have children, if you have a spouse, if you have a good job, if you have financial stability, if you have a mode of conveyance, a vehicle to get around, to move around, if your parents are alive, if you have a loving, united family, if you have good friends, good company, blessing after blessing, my dear brothers and sisters, how unfortunate is it that we tend to focus on the negatives rather than focus on the positives? So this powerful dua, so see, this is the thing. Now I'm sure as you were listening to me kind of spell out all these blessings, you might have thought, hey, you know what? I never really actually gave too much of thought to all these blessings. But this is what you're supposed to be doing. See, this dua, as you read it in the morning, what is the Prophet telling us? He's telling us the one who reads it with firm conviction, right? So as you read it, you're not supposed to just pay lip service to the dua and read it like a parrot. No. As you say, أَبُوءُ لَكَ بِنِعْمَتِكَ عَلَيْهِ, you need to reflect and ponder on all these blessings that you are enjoying. And you need to feel that sense of gratitude flow from within you, emanate from within you with regards to these countless blessings. If we were to remain in sujood our entire lives, my dear brothers and sisters, that is not expected of us, but even if we were to do it, it would not suffice for the blessings that we are enjoying. And then look at the next statement. Wa abu'u bi dhanbi, I acknowledge, I confess my sins unto you. See, the beauty of our deen, my dear brothers and sisters, is that we don't have the system of confessing to others. We don't confess to the creation. We confess to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now here too, you're not supposed to just skim over this. You're not supposed to just gloss over this statement or pay lip service to this. No. Now you need to hold yourself accountable. The genius Umar radiallahu anhu, he tells us, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Take account of yourselves before you are taken into account. And when are you going to be taken into account? On the day of Qiyamah. Before that, take yourself into account. On a daily basis, evaluate your actions, evaluate your statements. And this is what the pious people of the past would do. So here you're doing that, my dear brothers and sisters. But أَبُوا أُبِي ذَنْبِي, as you say that, what are you saying? You're saying, I acknowledge my sins. I confess my sins unto you. Think of the sins, my dear brothers and sisters. Oh, you know what? Today, I slipped in this regard. You know, my tongue slipped in this regard. Or perhaps I did this, I did that. Ya Allah, I regret it. I confess my sins unto you. And then, faghfir li. And then right after that, after confessing, after acknowledging, after reflecting, after taking yourself into account. Because if you don't take yourself into account, it's going to be this repetitive cycle. May Allah protect us. But when you take yourself into account, now you're holding yourself accountable. You need to do that. Right? You need to do that. And then you say, فَغْفِرْ لِي. Allah, forgive me. Forgive me. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. Since none can forgive sins except you. Now, do you see how powerful this dua is when it is infused with this reflection, with this introspection? It's very, very powerful. And this is the most beautiful manner of seeking forgiveness, as has been taught to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, I hope you found this video beneficial. Please do share this video around so that others can benefit as well, so that others can learn about the most beautiful manner of seeking forgiveness, and so that they too can implement it in their lives. And inshallah, if they do so, you and I, we are all going to share in on the reward. It's a cycle of goodness. The caravan of goodness has to continue. I look forward to talking to you all in another video soon, inshallah ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.